Hello, ladies. Let me change my name in here so y'all know me. I'm sure some of y'all know me, but we got new members, y'all. How exciting. Hello, Katrina. Let me pull up the chat here in a second. Okay. Chat. Oh, the chat is over in my... I want to put my chat back over in the little list. There we go. And I don't need participants. Okay. Hi guys. How's everybody doing? Do we have any new members? Like brand new members who have just popped in to see what this Zoom thing's all about? Hey Andy. All right. Are y'all excited about Chasing Cupcakes? Okay, Mary, you just joined, but you did, you know Zoom. I mean, you probably, yeah, watched the Zoom yesterday. Well, what was yesterday? Oh, Kathy did office hours yesterday. So I'm not the first person to do a Zoom since you joined, but I'm the second. So Rhonda, you're in the bathtub. I love it. Don't drop your phone or any other electronic in the bathtub, please. Please, please, please. Joni, awesome. Just jump right in. She said she just joined. You just bought the book. But what I love about this book, I'm going to tell y'all in a second, is that you can just jump into any chapter, right? Because she repeats a lot of things and she just, it's a lot of the same things over and over again. So I love that you just bought the book and you're jumping in. You are never behind at no BS. Isn't that right, y'all? So I know this book is just amazing. I went through a bunch of the stuff. Y'all, look at this. I've got like tabs and this is all the stuff I want to talk about tonight. So I better get going rather than just shooting the shit with y'all. So, hi Amy. Good to, I don't actually see you, but good to, hear from you. All right, y'all, let's get started. So I am doing chapters 9 through 12. I'm not trying to hide my little board here, but if y'all have read chapter 12, you know that this is part of chapter 9, you know that this is part of it. So I'm going to definitely ask y'all to put some stuff in the chat. I love to utilize the chat when I do my teaching calls like this. So if you have a specific Q&A, put that in the Q&A box, but probably I won't be doing, and also we're not going to do any coaching. So I just saw that maybe somebody raised their hand, but we probably won't do any coaching because I mean, there is so much meat in these four chapters that I don't even know how I'm going to get through it. I'm going to try to stay at right at an hour. So we'll see. But anyway, okay. Chapter 9, customer service is an inside job. I don't know about y'all, but I was flipping. I'm sure I'm not the only one who does this, but I was reading the book, but then I just kind of started flipping through, right? Just started seeing, like I went to the table of contents just to see how the, I'm that kind of person that I want to see the table of contents. I want to see how everything's organized. I want to see what's coming up, you know, next. And I love me an agenda, love me a table of contents. So I was looking at the table of contents and I saw this chapter, customer service is an inside job. And I said, okay, you know, I was like, whoa, whatever I'm reading, I got to stop and jump to that chapter because that was just like, that's me. That's me. I got to start being my best customer service agent. So, because I can be a little hard on myself sometimes. And I'll be talking about that all throughout this call. I'm going to get real with y'all on how I answered a bunch of these questions. And so before we get into the meat of the book, well, actually, no, let's just get into it. And then I'm going to tell you kind of how I went through the book and how I answer the questions. So, okay, let's go. So customer service is an inside job. So I thought it'd be good first. So I've got everything spread out here. I've got my questions that I answered and y'all see, I'm not perfect. I didn't answer everything. And then I've got the study guide. So, you know, there's two different documents, the study guide and the journal prompts. So for you newbies, just go to pnptribe.com, go to our bonus courses and find Chasing Cupcakes, and you'll be able to print out both of those. and they'll be available to you forever, basically. So they're not going away anytime soon. So you can always just decide to read the book and do the journal prompts and go through the study guide whenever you want to. All of our courses are just there for you whenever you want to go at your own pace. So customer service is an inside job. So let's get started about this. How different would your experiences of challenges, setbacks, or past patterns be if instead of spending hours, weeks, years being a victim of your problems or crushed by your circumstances, you simply committed to creatively and energetically taking action on solutions? And so she used that example of the airline customer service agent, right? And they said something like, I don't remember exactly how it went, but they said something like, okay, we are going to creatively and energetically find a solution for you. And, or something like that, right? So good. Yes, Joni, that's Coach MJ's, you know, phrase that I'm going to use tonight a bunch too. Creatively and energetically taking action on solutions. That's how you become your best, your own customer service agent, right? And we do that by focusing on all these little wins. You know, we talk about little wins all the time, but I love how, and Kathy wrote this, by the way, y'all, I got to give props to Coach Kathy. She wrote this study guide for us to really help us be able to apply all of the NoBS concepts, you know, all the Chasing Cupcakes concepts to NoBS. And so she just did an amazing job with it. And so she talked about little wins. She said, being the victim to your problems or looking at your day as all or nothing. Who's all or nothing? Sometimes guilty. Solves nothing. You beat yourself up and then say you're going to start again tomorrow. Y'all, I heard Coach MJ's talk about tomorrow the other day. I don't know if we were just talking when we were in Nashville or I was listening to one of her calls, but she said, y'all, there is no tomorrow, because when tomorrow comes, that's today. So we need to get rid of the Annie song, you know, the I love you tomorrow, because we don't want to love tomorrow. We want to focus on today, because if we just focus on tomorrow, then we're not present wherever we are. We don't think about creative and energetic solutions that we can do right now, right? You know, what she say in the book, like transformation is now. I know everybody's singing the Annie song. So get in it, you know, sing it one more time, get it out of your head, and then, you know, throw it out, because it's not helping us, right? It's not helping us to just focus on, well, I'll do it better tomorrow. I'll be perfect tomorrow. That's my favorite. That's my favorite thought. Well, I'll just be perfect tomorrow. Fuck the rest of the day, right? First F word of the call. Okay. So she says, instead, be curious and creative. Write down the three things that went well and three things you're grateful for. What is that? How does that, why does that sound familiar? Those are questions that are in our brand spanking new planner, right? Every day. I love those questions, y'all. And sometimes I'm like, because I am committed, I want to get different answers every day. And sometimes it's hard. And it's okay to have some of the same answers every day, but I want to challenge myself and have different answers every day. So what are you grateful for? And what are three things that that went well today or that you did right today? So we answer that. And then we answer one more thing. What is it? What three things I'd like about myself? Oh my gosh, y'all. I want y'all to put in, what have you been answering three things that you like about yourself today? Because I'm always looking for ideas on that question. I mean, I definitely have some ideas, but, you know, and have some answers. But what have y'all been doing for that question? Y'all can start doing that while we keep going through chapter 9. Okay. So giving time to the problem isn't the same as giving energy to the solution. Giving time to the problem isn't the same as giving energy to the solution. So we're talking about all of the ways that we can find a solution. And she talks about how we get like a PhD in the problem, right? And this is what sensing is. And so this is the chapter where we talk about this four-step process. Sensing is you're aware that there's a problem, right? But we love to stay in this phase or this, you know, in this step. We get a PhD in the problem. She says, we spend far too long thinking about, complaining about, and rehashing the problem long after we have enough information to proceed to the solution. Can I get an amen? Yeah. So we get like a freaking PhD and like, you know, well, let me just read about binging and let me figure out what's going on in my brain and let me figure out, you know, what urges mean and all that kind of stuff. Now, all the base information of all that is very important, but I know that I'm not the only one that kind of likes to stay in that information collecting stage so that I don't actually have to get to work on the solution. Okay. So I'm just being real, real with myself. So, yeah, so this is where she talked about getting a PhD in the psychology of the problem. Yeah, I love that. Okay. So let's move on to the next phase, which was seeking. So seeking is where you're actually thinking about solutions to the problem. And so I want to talk about kind of how I answered these questions all throughout the workbook from the very start. What I really like to do, and I think I learned this from Corinne when she talked about coming to camp, because people would come to camp and they would hear other people being coached or Corinne would be teaching a concept. And, you know, sometimes people would say, well, but, you know, someone's being coached on, you know, their kids or someone's being coached on their husband and I don't have kids and I'm not married or whatever. And she started teaching like you can always learn something from someone else's coaching. Just choose like a specific thing that you want to work on for the entire camp. Choose a specific problem that you want to work on for camp. And every time someone gets coached, every time a concept is taught, every time you're just working on worksheets or whatever, keep that specific problem in mind. And so that's what I decided to do with this book. And so from the very start, I decided I wanted, my problem is I overeat when I babysit my three nieces on Thursdays. So I go to their house and I babysit them and they have all the great like food, kid food stuff that I don't have at my house. You know, this is all circumstances, right? These are all just facts. And not every week, but a lot of weeks I will go off plan. I will eat off plan. Sometimes I will binge. I have a history of binge eating. I'm going to talk about that in a second. An amazing thought that I found in this book. And so I just decided to focus on that one problem for the entire book. Now, I have written about a few other things with my answers, but it just really focused my thinking. And because usually a lot of times we just were like, well, okay, we're going to read a book. We're going to solve all of our problems, right? And the answers aren't focused. The answers are just really trying to fix every problem that you have. And so, yeah, so I want y'all to think about like, as you know, are kind of reviewing your answers, as you're finishing out the rest of the book, how could you focus on one problem and then get creative and energetic about finding a solution? Okay. So that's kind of how I answered the questions. So, all right, let me see, just kind of check the chat here. You can get lost in the land of learning, right? Cindy said, I feel like I've been seeking no BS all my life. Well, you found it. So now you're done seeking, right? It's time to settle and get to solving. So no more finding other diets, no more, you know, looking for the solution. You found no BS. This is it. Stick with it, right? Constrain yourself down to this. You found no BS. And I will tell you, I know I'm a little biased, but I think this is the best weight loss program on the planet. So, so anyway, okay. So let's get to, so we're now we're talking about seeking. And so that is really coming up with solutions. So I'm kind of jumping ahead here to like the rest of the, where she actually talks about the four steps. Let me see if there's anything in here. Okay, now I'm in the next chapter. These big sticky notes were probably not the best idea, but I didn't want to miss anything. Okay, so where is seeking? Okay, I'm writing the seeking part. Okay, seeking, so I said, you know, you want to get a PhD in the problem. And then seeking is brainstorming and exploring all the potential solutions. And again, I wanted to just focus on this one problem of overeating on Thursday when I babysit my nieces, right? And so I came up with some options. And so some of my options were, I don't know where I put them, because I may have put them in another question, but I can make a very realistic plan, right? For you newbies, you're going to be learning about all this and no BS, but I can make a very realistic plan, right? And just have some of the foods that I've been eating on the plan. I can also choose to make a plan without those foods and work on allowing the urges for those foods. I can also get people to support me and get people to help me, my accountability partners. I can ask them for ideas. I can tell them what I've been working on lately is like, okay, you know, I talk to them on my way to babysitting and I say, okay, I'm going to report back to you at the end of the day that I followed my plan, right? Accountability at its finest. So things like that are all solutions that I've come up with. And so, and those are all ones that I'm going to, you know, going to try. And that's where settling comes in. So settling was, and the word settling kind of messed me up for a second, but I know exactly what she means now. I mean, she's just talking about deciding. And so and she wanted to have all S words. But basically what settling is deciding on the solution that you're going to work on. And so I had several solutions there, right? And so I need to decide on one so that I'm not in confusion about which one I want to work on, which one I want to try. And so where did she talk about settling? Yeah. She said, settling isn't a religion. You know, sometimes you think about this. She said, you aren't bound to this decision until the end of time. Sometimes I have a hard time making decisions sometimes. And I think that my brain goes to like, well, first it goes to, I might make the wrong decision because I think that there are right or wrong decisions, which there aren't. The only wrong decision is one that you don't make, right? One that you just stay in indecision about. But the right decision is just the one that you make because you've made it. But I also go to, well, I can't, if I make the decision, I can't ever, you know, do something different. It's that all or nothing thinking that comes in. So I loved how she said it wasn't a religion. And actually earlier in the book, she talked about decisions, like the origin of the word decisions. And it's like, here it is. Decide means to cut off or cut from. When you make a decision, you are cutting off an option. I thought that was like, whoa, right? It's just like non-negotiable. It's not an option. Anything else that you haven't decided. So yeah, Debbie says, make a decision and then make it the right decision. And you get to decide that it's just the right decision. That's another decision to make, right? That it's the right decision. So yeah. And so why do you have to think, Shannon? You know, you're saying, why do I have to think it's in stone forever? It's not, right? But it might be for the next week. Or it might be for the next month, but we can, you know, reassess at a later date. I work with a lot of my private clients in No BS about making decisions, but sometimes it's like, okay, I'm going to make this decision until the end of June, and then I'm going to reassess and see where I want to go from there. So you've made the decision, but then you have this time where you're going to reassess and you can see if you want to stick with that same decision or if you want to do something different. But it's like, but the decision is made until June 30th, the decision is made, right? And so it just helps you stay out of that confusion and just floating around in indecision. Okay, so we got settling, which is this decision making, and then we move into solving, which is getting your ass in action, consistent action. She said, what is required for change? Consistent action. And y'all, the key to that is consistency. And what is required for consistency? You make mistakes and you get back up and you keep going. She talked about that refractory period earlier in the book, where it's like you want your refractory period to be as small as possible between a mistake and between getting back at it, right? And so that's how consistency is created, is that you keep going after you make a mistake. You don't stay in woe is me land for a while, right? So it's the next thing to do is just to do it. I'll never forget, I had a boss when I was working in Memphis, and she had a thing on her desk that said, ain't nothing to it but to do it. I'll never forget that. I should have taken the picture of that. My gosh, it was way back when. Gosh, 20 years ago. But I love that. I love that. It's just this, you know, simplicity of just do it. Nike knows what they're talking about. Just do it. Okay. So let me see if there's a few other things with this chapter. I really wanted to spend the most time on this chapter because it's just really the meatiest one out of the four, but they're all great. But there's one other little section in this chapter that talks about, is it a dream or a goal? And I love talking about goal setting because I get on my soapbox about goal setting. That, you know, a goal is just an arbitrary decision on an arbitrary date. But if, you know, if it's a weight loss goal, it's an arbitrary number on an arbitrary date. And I always say that goal setting is 10% achieving the goal and 90% who you become going for the goal. And so it's all about the habits and the mistakes that you make and what you learn from those mistakes and all of that. That is what goal setting is about. But she said, what I really think this was interesting about what she said, like, you really have to differentiate between a dream and a goal. Because a dream, you know, she says aspirational, but that doesn't mean you're taking action to bring it into reality. If you dream of losing weight, you actually have to make a plan to achieve it, right? It can't just be a dream because it's not specific. It's not actionable. And so I just thought that was a really good little tidbit there. There's so many good little tidbits, y'all. Okay. And then I was just talking about this recovering. This is where she talks about the refractory period. So I talked about that already, where it's the span of time between a choice you aren't proud of and a choice you are proud of. You know, we always talk about your next best decision. So you want your next best decision to be as quickly as possible after a decision that you're not, you know, totally proud of, right? But I see every decision as something that you can be proud of because you can always learn from it. So, okay. So we're going to talk about the questions at the end of this chapter. Let me see if there's any good stuff in here. Okay. Oh, here we go. Deanna, I think, has a quote from the book. Solving is not a plan to act. It is a choice or behavior that produces a direct result. Right. Right. Like, it's not just making a plan. I mean, you know, you want to make a plan, but then it's like actually making that choice to do it. I think about like making a plan to get up and exercise. You know, you make a plan, you make like a weekly exercise plan all day long. But when that alarm goes off at 5 a.m., which mine does every morning, if you don't get your ass out of bed, a plan is useless, right? So, yes, Kelly, you've got to talk about your goals as I am doing this, not I want this, or I, you know, when you're writing out your goals, it's not I want. It's not I want. You know, everybody wants stuff. I want a, you know, Maserati sitting out front in the parking lot or in the driveway. I really don't, but I mean, you know, but it's like, I am doing this, right? Yes, Pam, plan and implement the plan. Okay. Let's look at the questions at the end of chapter 9. real quick. I'm not going to go through every single one, but so to what problems are you not applying creative energetic solutions? And so for me, again, I was focusing on this one problem of overeating at babysitting. And so, and then the next question was on what problems can you practice? So, you know, I didn't answer that one because I was like, I'm just focusing on this one thing. And y'all, it is a big deal for me not to like think I need to answer every single question, but I'm a recovering perfectionist and I am getting less and less perfectionist as the days go on. So I answer the questions that I want to answer that will help me the best. Okay, but this is an amazing question, y'all. If you don't answer any other question on this chapter, answer this one. If someone else were in charge of solving the problems in your life, if it was their actions and energy that made the difference, how would you want them to show up? What would you want them to do? I mean, is that not the most amazing question? Because, you know, you all know that we always think about other people so differently than we think about, well, not always, but a lot of times when we're working on solving a problem, when we're working on weight loss, when we're working on loving ourselves, you know, how it's so much easier. We think it's so much easier to love other people and to help other people as opposed to loving ourselves and helping ourselves. So this kind of question you can use for so much, like, okay, what if you were saying this to someone else? What if you were helping someone else? Or what if someone else was helping you? What would you want them to do? So it's kind of getting out of yourself for a minute to really work on solving the problem. Because we can just get caught up in our bullshit and not really come up with solutions because we're so busy beating ourselves up too. Okay, so what I said was I would want them to help me to decide on a solution and like make a straight up, someone said, all in decision on what I was going to, you know, implement to solve the problem. I would want them to keep me accountable. And then as we move on, let's say that solution didn't work and we needed to try something else. Then I would want them to help me try something else and go through that process again of making a definitive all-in decision and then helping me to be accountable. And so as we know, we can do that with ourselves, right? We can make decisions ourselves. We can keep ourselves accountable. And so I just love that question and just the way that it was worded and get you kind of out of yourself and then how you can help yourself. How did y'all answer that? Someone said, gently redirect me and not yell. Yes. I don't know about you, but I find myself kind of yelling at myself on the inside sometimes, right? When I'm being really judgmental of myself. Yeah, you wouldn't want anybody to like, I mean, I don't know, maybe some people like, you know, screaming in your face kind of stuff, but I'm not. Give myself as much compassion as I would give someone else. Yes. Deanna wants someone that will call her on her bullshit. And y'all know we can call ourselves on our bullshit, right? I would want them to speak to me with compassion and curiosity, not like someone who hates me, right? Janet, do you sometimes talk to yourself like you hate yourself? I know I do, right? Specific step-by-step actions I can take. Yes. If you were like, let's say you were like paying somebody to help you solve a problem. You wouldn't want them to just be like, well, just try that and let me know how it goes, right? You'd be like, fired, you're fired. So yeah, you want to give yourself like specific actions to take and then have someone like hold you accountable to those. And you can, again, you can do that yourself. Creative and energetic. Okay. Here we go. In which phases of the problem do you feel you are wasting energy? I know for me, a lot of times it is sensing and seeking and settling because I'm wasting energy not settling on something a lot of times. I'm in this indecision. So basically for me, it's the top three. What about y'all? Seeking,
talking about it endlessly, stretching out the pain. So much fun, right? Actually, I took a note on, I knew the time was just going to go by so fast, y'all. I took a note on something from an earlier chapter where it was just like, whoa, drop the mic. About something about being miserable. Oh, I don't remember where it was, but maybe it was over here. Something about, you know, hanging out in your misery, which, you know, I've been there, done that. Oh, I don't even know where it was, but it was something about that. Okay. Seeking, looking for the magic solution. Right. Indecision, procrastination, avoidance. Yes. So, I mean, basically you're procrastinating on making a decision. You're avoiding a decision, right? And so where do you need to spend more time? So we spend, I don't know, for me, I spend all my time here. And then I finally make a decision. Where do y'all need to be spending more time? Solving. Yes. Ding, ding, ding. Correct answer. Right? That's where we need to spend our time. We need to spend the least amount of time in the top three. Because, I mean, and decisions, I mean, can be made like that. I remember listening to a podcast where it was just like, you don't have to, it doesn't take time to make, like, oh, I need to take some time to make this decision. No. All the time it takes to make a decision is basically just, okay, I'm going to do this. Decision made. Move on. Get into solving. Get into action. Yes. Yes, Rhonda. Solving is implementing your solution. Getting into action. That's what solving is. All right. And so then it just talks about basically how can you practice getting into, you know, spending more time in the solving phase, if that's where you want to spend more time, which I think most of us do. And then just getting specific about the activities. And I talked about those earlier, about my specific activities that I want to work on. Making a realistic food plan, really working on urges. Ooh, I'm talking a lot, y'all. And journaling about all of this, talking to my coach about it, all this stuff. Okay. So, all right, let's move on to chapter 10. I'm only halfway done with the time and I'm only second chapter, but I do think that was like, there's just so much good stuff in that chapter. So I think we can move through a couple of chapters here a little bit quicker. So, okay, chapter 10 is about valuing your questions and your answers. And those of you all who have been around here for a while know that we really, really value asking yourself a powerful question every day. And so, because it gives your brain direction, it gives your brain a question to work on answering all throughout the day. That's how your brain works. Your brain is like a computer. You submit this question into it. I think about like the floppy disk, you know, that tells my age, but you know, you put the disk in, that's like the question, and then your computer spits out answers. And so, oh my gosh. And y'all know this book is filled with questions. And so that is the way to get your brain really working on thinking new things, solving problems, all that kind of stuff. But the key to asking yourself questions is asking yourself useful questions and answering those questions. A lot of times when I'm working with you all on your thoughts, sometimes your thoughts will be a question, right? And anytime your thought is a question, you want to answer that question. And the answer is the thought. So you don't ever want your thoughts to be questions. If it is, then you just want to answer it. That's your question. That's your thought. So, questions unlock new possibilities while drawing you out of your past patterns. Because when you're asking yourself new questions, then you're getting your brain working on something new, right? Working on solutions.
The right questions point you squarely to what you can and will do right now to create change today. And we're all about, this book is all about transformation is now. We're not waiting till tomorrow. There is no tomorrow, Annie. Tomorrow just becomes today. So we're not thinking about tomorrow anymore. We don't love tomorrow anymore. Okay. I'll never think of Annie or watch that movie the same ever again. All right. So let me go through the book real quick with any kind of little highlights. So questions and answers. I loved how she talked about how often you negotiate with yourself. I was talking about this with the decision-making, with the settling, right? How much time do we spend negotiating with ourselves, right? And not, she says, you reopen cases you've already closed in order to justify what you want now. That's some tough love right there, right? But it is so true. That she says, you argue in favor of an excuse. You hold yourself back by building a case against what you want most in favor of what's more appealing in the moment. I mean, that's what we work on here every day, right, y'all? Is immediate gratification versus long-term benefit. That's the secret sauce right there. Is we can figure that out, then you can lose the weight, keep it all for the rest of your life. So it says, with better questions asked more frequently and answered more honestly, you'll begin to take away the power you've been giving to all that negotiation, right? You just start offering your brain some new thoughts. So let's see what y'all said. Let's see. Someone said, I love this in chapter 10. Yes, I'm going to get to that. Mind the truth that supports your goals. Mind the truth that moves you forward. And mind the truth that creates the change you crave. Love it. Who was saying something that they didn't understand? There's something y'all don't understand. Let me know. If there's something y'all don't understand, put it in the Q&A. Okay. So on page 223, she had like this list of questions. What else could I be? What other choices could I make tonight? She was talking about emotional eating. Am I capable of choosing something else just for today? Do I want to continue to endorse that belief? How do I feel when I make that choice? Just all these questions, all these really good, useful questions. A very useless question. Why don't y'all give me an example of a useless question? What's a question that just does not help? Give me that in the chat. Okay. And then, the next page, she did a quote. The first principle is that you must not fool yourself, and you are the easiest person to fool. I mean, how often do we fool ourselves? Right? But we're on to ourselves. Okay. Why can't I just get this right? Why me? Why did I binge? When is this going to end? Who cares? Why do I keep overeating? Why is this so hard? Okay, that's enough. That's plenty, y'all. What's wrong with me? What's the harm, right? You know, who cares? Why am I so pathetic? That's a good one, Julie. Why can't I lose weight? Now, why do I think food would help me right now, Laura, sounds like a useful question. Because you could answer it like, food's not going to help me right now. So, yeah, that's rough, right? And I mean, and just the way I read them, it's just a big old pity party in your brain. I mean, let's get real, right? So, I just literally looked down at the words on the book. This is an exhausting way to live. It is. No wonder we turn to food. We're exhausted by having this pity party in our brain all day. So I love how she uses the words, the example of this lawyer, and how she just uses the word of, like, you know, making a case and just these legal terms.
she's this lawyer friend of hers or a client that, you know, can make a case that justifies any choice. And she's not telling herself that the case is closed. We have to tell ourselves at some point when we make this decision, the case is closed. No more arguing for our pain and our misery. Case closed. We're moving to solutions. Okay. And I love this question. Have I already decided on this issue? I've got to write that one down. It's amusing to me because it's so simple, but it's just like, have I already decided? And I love the way I say it to him. I'm like, have I already decided on this issue? I think I have. So let's just move forward with the solution. We are brilliant and skilled at negotiating with ourselves. We fool ourselves most easily because we know what works. That's, you know, how that's what that guy was saying. We are the easiest person to fool because we've had these same conversations with ourselves over and over and over again. So it's time to have some new conversations. All right. Oh my gosh, y'all. This was so good. Oh my gosh, so good. Sound like MJ. One of the primary reasons most people are inconsistent is that their excuses are in fact true. So a lot of times we can just throw out some no BS excuses or some BS excuses rather, because it's just like, that's not even true. But if your excuses are in fact true or at a minimum believed to be true, the most dangerous excuses are true. And so let's say an excuse like, I want ice cream right now. You know, that's true. I want ice cream. I just want it. A lot of times, you know, we'll say, I just want it. And you really can't throw out, I mean, some people can throw out like, well, that's not really true. But for a lot of people, a lot of times with me, it's like, no, that's actually true. I want the ice cream. So I can't just say, well, that's not true. But you can think about what else is true. And that's what I think she's going for here, is what else is true? I want to lose weight. That's also true. And so this is where we go to mind the truth that moves you forward. And y'all, the way I say it, when I say mind the truth, it sounds like I'm saying mine, like M-I-N-E. I think that would work too. You know, like how you mine for gold, mine the truth that moves you forward, mine the truth that supports your goals, mine the truth that creates the change. Look for the truth that gets you what you want, what you really want, right? So, okay. So we're going to wrap this chapter up so we can just keep going forward here. Oh my gosh, there's so much more in this chapter, but we're just going to keep going. So what she has you do in this chapter, and I knew I was going to run out of time, so I don't have time to do this yet, or don't have time to do this, but the question in the study guide is, in your next moment of temptation or emotion, set your timer for 4 minutes and ask yourself questions until time expires. I think that is just genius. Because some of us, you know, we think, well, I need to sit down and journal right now, you know, about something. But like, where do you start, right? I mean, you can start anywhere. But to think about asking yourself questions, that makes it sound so much easier. I don't know, it does to me. And so I want y'all to go back through this chapter, and I want you to tell me in the chat, give me one question. Actually, this is what I want you to do. I want y'all to build up a bank of questions. And we give you all kinds. I mean, if y'all haven't seen the new planner with those journal prompts, I mean, you'll never have a question to answer ever again. But there's so many good ones in this chapter. So I want you, and then also in the back of the book, she has 200 and something questions in the back of the book. But I want y'all to develop a bank of questions that, okay, if you have a moment where it says, you know, in temptation or emotion, and you want to sit down and ask yourself questions and answer them, right? You know, we're talking about answering them too.
I think she's saying to answer them. Okay. She doesn't exactly say that. But yeah, you want to ask yourself questions and answer them. And so I want y'all to have those at the ready when you do need to sit down and journal. You could have it at the beginning of your planner, the beginning of your journal notebook or whatever. So what are some of those questions that you're going to have in your journal bank or your question bank to ask yourself when you need to? Do I want this more than my goals? Yes, you want to, and yes and no, yes or no questions are fine. You just want to have like a why or why not there. So you want to like, do I want this more than my goal? Yes. Why? Right. Or no, why? What do I really need in this moment? So good, Debbie. What do I want to achieve? Just remind yourself of what you're doing here. How can I find joy in every moment today? Love that one, Katrina. If I say yes to the ice cream or whatever it is, what am I saying no to? That's one of my very favorite questions. What am I hungry for right now? 6 months from now, how would I deal with this? I love that. That reminds you of your future self, the future version of yourself. Haven't I already decided this? I love that one. Yes, Anne, that one's my favorite. Who can I reach out to for feedback and support right now? Amazing, Clarissa. Sometimes we just need some support and some help. You only have 9,000 friends here in the group that you could reach out to. What can I do today to have a sense of accomplishment? What would my accountability partner tell me in that moment? Yes, Debbie, that gets you kind of out of yourself. What would my best friend tell me? What would my mom tell me? What would my husband tell me? I love to think about what my husband would tell me because he doesn't know anything about thought work. He always thinks I'm trying to head shrink him. And if I try to coach him or talk about coaching stuff. So I love to think about it. What would he think about? Okay. Gosh, y'all, time is flying. All right. Simplicity. Let's go through this. Little bit quicker. Simplicity. So making change easier. So we're talking about making change easier, getting into action. How can we get into action easier? How can we get to this solving and make it easier? Requires that you pursue simplicity in your thoughts and in your actions. Keep it simple, stupid, right? I'm not calling y'all stupid, but I think about that sometimes. Just keep it simple. There's this whole concept, kind of a fancy word called constraint. It's not a fancy word, but it's a thing that we kind of learn about in coaching. There's a Life Coach School podcast on it, constraint. And it's just like, but it's just basically getting things simpler in your life. And she uses the example of like, Brooke uses the example of, you know, she shops at one store, you know, for her clothes. I mean, you just like constrain yourself to, you know, or like if you're reading a book, you constrain yourself to one book and you finish it and then you move on to the next book. Really keeping things simple. The easier road, you know, we talk about the easy road is the first chapter in the book, I think. The easier road is shorter, straighter, and far more effective. Choosing a practice of pursuing simplicity will undeniably make change and life easier. So, what is she talking about with simplicity here? What can I release that is no longer serving me? I mean, that's a great way to simplify your life, right? And that can be stuff, that can be people, that can be weight loss programs, additional weight loss programs, all this kind of stuff, right? What can I release that is no longer serving me that I can clean out of my life? This is really a kind of a clean out of mental, physical stuff. And I loved how what she talked about pennies and inches, you know, how like football is a game of football is a game of inches or whatever. And then she talks about pennies, like picking up pennies, and people say, oh, that, you know, that doesn't make a difference. But of course it does. If you get enough pennies. So
I love that. The smallest, simplest things we're likely to dismiss are the very things that create change. They are not, in fact, too small to make a difference. They are actually the difference maker. Because if something is small, it's easier. We are more likely to do it. So all we have to do is just add up a bunch of small stuff. But our brain wants to go to, no, it needs to be a big, huge thing. No, it needs to be a bunch of small wins, small choices over and over and over again. But I loved on page 259, I did a little smiley face. Sometimes I do a smiley face when I underline stuff. It talks about the small things I could do were too small to bother with. But at the same time, I'd look at big changes as things I couldn't do or wasn't ready for. She said, what a pickle. The small things are too small and the big things are too big. That's where we find ourselves in. We find ourselves in this middle ground with no action taken because we think the small stuff's too small and the big stuff, oh, we can't do that either. What if we just decided that we're going to focus on the small stuff because that's the easy stuff? So, yes, that does sound like Goldilocks. All right. Let's see if there's anything else here in simplicity, and then let's see what the question, or it wasn't really a question, but it was. Okay, this is really good too. Decide on a 24-hour period within the next week when you will practice living by simple decision-making criteria. I actually worked with a coach on this one time where we said, okay, every decision I make, I'm going to decide within 48 hours. Any decision that comes up in my life, that's my rule, is that I decide within 48 hours. What are some decisions that you all need to make right now? Put that in the chat. What's like a decision? And it doesn't have to be related to weight loss. It could be like, y'all will, oh my gosh, something that I delay decision making on is if I order something and I'm trying to decide if I want to keep it or return it. I will keep something. I will put off that decision for so long. Paint colors, when to sell the house, kitchen remodel or no. We've got a couple of remodelers. Taking a vacation next summer, Disney trip. Decide if I want to stay in my job, whether I want to get a PhD, whether I can afford virtual camp, how long I will walk. Oh my gosh. Right. And so you're just like, well, I can't decide. I'll just sit on the couch instead. Maybe not you, but I've done that. What kind of thing do I want to buy? Right. Just buying stuff. Oh my gosh, I was coaching someone and I was talking about these pictures that I had sitting on the floor that I was needing to hang, and I hadn't decided exactly where they needed to hang. And so they sat there on the floor for months and months and months. Whether you should go back to school, whether you should travel, right? What temperature is cool enough to walk outside? Picking a dating app. You can't decide, so you don't pick one. Yes. Oh my gosh. So good, right? So simply make your best choice in every moment without negotiation or debate. So here's the deal with all of you all that put your decision down. What if I told you you had to make that decision within the next 48 hours? This is what I want y'all to do. Oh, somebody's car alarm's going off. I want you all to, if you want to take this challenge on, I want you to and do a decision making within 24 hours, make a decision within 48 hours. I'm all distracted by the car. Oh gosh, really? Okay. I can't hear that. There it goes off. I want you all to post it in Facebook and tag me because I would love, love, love to hear all of you all making decisions quicker, right? Debbie says, but then how could I endlessly torture myself over all the small decisions? You know, you gotta trade. You can't be miserable if you're making decisions, right? So, let's see. Rhonda says, give me till Monday. Okay, Rhonda, I'll give you till Monday. Becky, should I go to life coach school? Becky, can you make that decision in the next 48 hours? y'all know how good it feels when you make a decision, right? You know how good it feels. What simple decision-making criteria? I'm just suggesting the 48 hours, but y'all can set any criteria you want, but you just have to decide on it. What is simple decision-making criteria will you employ for the next 24-hour challenge or just, you know, a challenge that you want to set for yourself where you make some decisions that you've been putting off? No complaining, gossiping, or worrying. As none of those behaviors are related to solutions. So I would love to hear you all make some decisions. Speaking of solutions, so our last chapter is becoming a solution person. And I wrote here up at the top of my study guide, a problem, you know, a lot of us are problem people instead of solution people. And that is, but we are that because that's the familiar place. And I think for a lot of us, I almost kind of get like a little choked up when I talk about it because gotta give ourselves the compassion of just recognizing that, okay, we focus on problems because that's what's familiar to us. That's what we thought protected us. That's what we thought was the right thing to do. And that's okay. But for us to change, we have to just be in acceptance of where we were and be okay with being wrong with where we were. I mean, there's nothing wrong with being wrong if you want to just do something different. So, I don't know. That really resonated with me where she was talking about it being familiar. All right. Become a solution person. I love this Rumi quote. I think that's how you say. I've heard about this before. Ooh, it kind of gets me like emotional too. Out beyond ideas of wrongdoing and right doing, there is a field. I'll meet you there. Y'all, there is a place. There is such a place where there's no right and there's no wrong. And we don't have to tear ourselves down. We don't have to beat ourselves up. There is a place and we can all work on getting there. Okay. I'm doing it too. I'm doing it too. And I'll meet you there. Okay. Woo. All right. So she says, if you share a problem more than twice without taking action to fix it, you aren't looking for a solution. So now that I've cried, she's going to like, you know, give me some more tough love. You're looking for attention. So that was a little harsh, but really true. If we're just complaining about stuff and we're not looking for solutions, we're probably just looking for attention. So we got to be honest with ourselves. Yeah, it's serious tough love, but maybe we need to hear it. You know, maybe we need to hear it. Still doesn't mean we have to beat ourselves down. We just need to get honest. So, she talks about being focused on being right versus getting it right. And so often we just want to be right. We want to, and I was talking about this a second ago. If we really are looking for solutions, we have to admit that we were wrong with this other solution. You know, if we admit that we were wrong in our overeating, then we have to admit that to be right, to get it right with not overeating. But we have to just admit like, yeah, that was the wrong choice. But wrong doesn't have to be, it's like Rumi said, wrong, there doesn't have to be like a right or wrong, like a wrong, you're bad kind of wrong. Wrong could just be like a totally neutral thing. So, okay. Keeping my attention on the problem made things far worse because it poured gasoline on a fire of negative emotion. Absolutely. Let's see what the study guide says. So Kathy wrote in here, what result do I want to achieve? Right? Amazing question. Some of you all suggested that. But I added something onto it. When you're asking yourself that question, what result do I want to achieve? I want y'all to add, and how am I going to get there today? Not tomorrow, because there's no tomorrow, remember? How am I going to get there today? She says, oh my gosh, this is such a good little nugget too. If you're giving energy to the problem, you're stealing energy from the solution. We're giving energy to the wrong place, to the wrong thing. And we're choking out the solution. Or like, we focus so much on the problem with our time and our energy, we're too worn out to focus on the solution. So good. Okay, let's see what y'all are saying, and then we will wrap this up for tonight. Love isn't always sweet. Yeah. Sometimes it's tough. Still love, but sometimes it's not always the sweetest. Let's see. Yes, I will meet you there. All right. Let's see what the questions were. There were a few questions on chapter 12. So I'm going to finish things up with that. So she says to identify a problem, challenge, or area of your life where you desire to create change. For the next 3 days, be exclusively. She uses that word exclusive a lot. She uses the word, one of my favorite things is militantly on my own side. Was that in here? Was that, I don't remember what chapter that was on. It's like, how can you be militantly on your own side today? That is an amazing question to ask yourself. Anyway, just this terminology, I think that's what really, you know, a lot of these books, I mean, all these books are so good and they all say a lot, but a lot of times, a lot of these self-help books, they say a lot of the same things, but in different ways. And that's what's so great about them is that's what's so great about reading them, you know, reading them all, because you never know what's going to resonate with you. And some of the terms that she used just really resonate with me. So exclusively, for the next 3 days, be exclusively a creative, energetic problem solver. Redirect all thoughts about your problem to action invested in the solution. So what is the problem? For me, it's overeating when I'm babysitting my nieces. How have you been focused on the problem? Oh, I like to judge myself. After I've done it. I like to think about how I'll never figure it out. I like to, think about the next week and what am I going to do when I'm around that food again and worry and, you know, all that. Now, how can I participate in the solution? I can get my, you know, personal customer service agent, my inside job customer service agent, to help me come up with ideas and how I'm going to execute them. I can reach out for support to get others to help me. Those were some of the ideas that I came up with. And I talked to you all about my options, about making a realistic plan, journaling throughout the day, asking myself really good questions, you know, throughout the day, getting my brain working on those, do the 90-second countdown when I have urges, and all kinds of different things like that. This was an interesting question. What factors are unrelated to the solution? So that's kind of interesting. Like, and I had to think for a second, what factors are unrelated to the solution? Maybe they're more focused on the problem. And I think that's what she's saying here. And my thing was, how many times I've done it in the past? Or basically the entire past. So I haven't really mentioned and talked a lot about the past, but all of that is woven through this entire book. Basically, that is one factor that is unrelated to solution, is anything that has happened in the past. So that was a really good question for me to ponder on. In what situations am I attempted to focus on the problem? It's usually after I have overeaten. and just I'm focused on like, I'll never figure this out. You know, nothing I do will ever work, all this kind of stuff. And then what can I do instead? Focus on the solution. Just focus on, okay, what can I learn from this and how can I move forward? So, all right, let's see. Anything else that y'all, let me see what y'all have in the Q&A and then we will wrap it up because let's see, it says, last thing, once you're clear on the problem, only allow yourself to be a creative, energetic problem solver. I know I've said that a million times tonight, but I just think those two words, creative, energetic. So what that means is that creative means you're going to come up with a lot of solutions and you're going to brainstorm and reach out to people, and energetic comes across to me as, okay, if I'm energetic, I'm going to come up with a bunch of solutions. I'm going to try a bunch of solutions. When I say try, I don't mean like half-ass. I'm going to implement solutions. And if one doesn't work, if I'm energetic, I'm just going to put in the next one and put in the next one and see what I can learn and see it, you know, see how I can come up with new ones. But those are just two amazing feelings, right? Creative and energetic. Yes, Anne, there will be one last call with Kathy next Thursday, and she's doing the last four chapters, and then we'll have the interview with Elizabeth on, I think it's either the 29th or the, it's the evening of the 29th. Ooh, and I'll be on it. I'm going to be on it in the chat, so I can't wait. I bet I won't be the only coach in there because we all want to hear her get interviewed. So, okay, let me just look at a few of these questions here and then we'll get out of here. So Katrina, that's a good question. Does creatively and energetically mean to do things with a cheerleader tone? Not necessarily, unless you were a cheerleader and you want to talk to yourself in a cheerleader way. Some people do, but it really is just you get to define what creative and energetic means to you. I threw out kind of my suggestions, but you want to think about, yeah, what does that mean to me? What's going to resonate with me? If it's a cheerleader tone, go for it. If it's more of a, like a supportive friend kind of tone, that too. So, sensing, does sensing correlate to the feelings line? No, I think sensing is just awareness. I think that's just another word for awareness of a problem. And so that's all it is. So don't overthink that word. You know, she just wanted to have like a bunch of S words. And so you could even like say, Q&A is covered up with, but I mean, if you wanted to change these up and be like, well, this is actually awareness. Seeking, it's like seeking the solution. Settling is really just deciding, and then solving is, you know, but so you can just rename them however you want if you want to. And the action line of the model is the solving. So let's see. And I talked about creative and energetic. So what was your binging aha moment you mentioned at the beginning of the call? Thank you, Cindy. Okay. So she had a thought that she was talking about emotional eating, and she just came out with this thought, and I just was like, whoa. Emotional eating is a past pattern unless I choose it right now. Emotional eating. So this isn't just related to binging, right? This is any overeating. Emotional eating is a past pattern unless I choose it right now. Y'all see what that means? That we can just decide today that emotional eating is a past pattern. I don't do that anymore. It's not something I do anymore. Part of my past. It's okay that it's there, but you know that we never have to, you know, we never have to do anything ever again if we don't want to. Yeah, We're talking about making a decision, Anne. That's what you're, I mean, that's what we're talking about here. When you decide, when you cut off other options, you can just decide, I don't emotionally eat. It's a past pattern, but I don't choose it anymore. So, and you can decide that in every moment of your day. Even if it happens again, you can just decide again. Well, that's part of my past pattern. And unless I choose it again, it can just be part of my past pattern. So that was the, yes, that was the jaw dropper for me. It's, again, it's the way that she words things that really, really, you know, everybody words, you know, everybody words things in different ways. And, you know, some people resonate with some people resonate with other people. And so I just love that we're exploring different voices and different authors and all kinds of stuff while we're here. And just, you know, really, you never know what's going to resonate with you in the time, in the moment. And I could read this book in a year and find all kinds of different things to resonate with, right? And so, and I've got a bookshelf full of other books that I could read over and over again and get different things out of. And I, that's what I'm so, that's one thing I'm so grateful for. I should write that on my plan, in my planner tomorrow or tonight is, I'm just grateful for my love of just always learning new things, right? And always growing. So, all right. When the student is ready, the teacher appears. Love it, Debbie. We're going to end with that. All right. This has been so much fun, y'all. I've just so been looking forward to being on this call with you. I love this book. I'm so excited for the interview coming up in a couple weeks. And again, Coach Kathy will be back next week with the final four chapters. And then we'll have Elizabeth on the 29th. So this was so much fun. I love talking to y'all in the chat. Danielle says, where can I find the book? So what you need to do is, well, someone put, all you need to do is go to pnptribe.com and go to the bonus courses, and you can find the book on Amazon, but it would be great if you want to buy the book or buy the Audible. And by the way, I didn't mention that the chapter, I figured if y'all were listening on Audible, you would know the chapters are a little bit different on Audible. And I couldn't remember what they were, but yeah, some people have listened to it. Some people have read it, but it's available on Amazon. But Corinne has a link through on the website to order on her faves page. And if you order through that, then we actually get to see how many people have ordered the book, because that'll be a fun number to tell Elizabeth and just to see how many people have ordered it. And some people like to listen. Oh, thank you. Is that it? Rhonda? Okay. Let me click on that link and make sure that's the right link. Yep, that's it. That is it. Thank you, Rhonda. So that's the link. And because it's got a couple of different addresses, but no problem. No problem if you ordered it just regular through Amazon or whatever. I mean, because no big deal. I'm glad you just ordered it and got it. But I think we'll be able to find out the number that were ordered through Corinne's link and her Amazon link. And so that'll be fun just to see the number, because I know that a lot of the membership has been reading this book. It's really, really resonated with a lot of people. All right, guys. Yeah, and you can also get it through Kindle for sure. So, all right, I will see you all again soon. I think I'll be doing office hours. I don't know if I'll be doing it next week or the next, but let's see. Our next call is Saturday, live with Corinne, and she'll be doing a Q&A. So, all right, guys, talk to y'all later. Bye.